going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome in to the full-time report. And we're going to be honest. You don't want to be here listening to this any more than we want to be here talking about what we've just seen. And I think Mike Conley was pretty accurate in his thoughts and his feelings towards the wrap-up of their call. I thought last week was the bottom. I thought last week was the absolute valley, and you start to climb your way back up today, and that was not the case. I would argue that today was as worse, or as bad, if not worse, than it was a week ago against Philly. Obviously, identical scores there. You lose 3-0 on the road here tonight to Orlando City, and what we were hoping would be maybe the step in the right direction turned out to be anything but. It's Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here. She's not happy. She doesn't want to talk about it, but I'm going to make her because there's a lot to discuss and very few aspects of it in the positive. Let's go ahead and get a couple of things out of the way right off the bat. Statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Orlando, the edge in possession, 55-45. The edge in shots, 16-11. Shots on goal. MLS, the official website, MLSsoccer.com, recorded 0 shots on goal for Atlanta, 6 on target for Orlando. The XG, 2.2 for Orlando City. They had 0.5 for Atlanta. I don't even know how they got that high. I really don't. There felt like zero threats. I know, I guess they had to make a save. Gillespie had to make a save in the near corner or near post, and a header kind of went over the bar. But it just wasn't there for Atlanta United tonight. Unfortunately, the referee played a role, a tough decision, a bad decision, which we can discuss, goes against Atlanta United. But beyond that, they weren't dangerous. They didn't look like they were going to score with or without that call, and they certainly didn't respond very well coming out of halftime 1-0. Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here, I am frustrated. You had to talk about it a week ago, which luckily for me, I was on a baseball trip. I didn't have to deal with it a week ago. It's got to feel like deja vu for you just talking about a performance where there is so little positive to take out of it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's got to be more. Like, I think Jason hit the nail on the head, you know, before it was tossed to us. I mean, the referee does play a role, and I know that no one wants to hear that, but it is the truth. The referee
You also lost 3-0. Like, let's not pretend like you lost 1-0 and the referee played a role. And I mean, you were wiped off the face of the map in the second half.
I know, I didn't get to finish my thought. I know you didn't.
I get really fired up and emotional day of. I'm pretty ticked off about this performance.
No, and here's the thing. Like, ref did play a role, absolutely. But you weren't threatening even before the penalty happened. You weren't threatening. I was seeing a little bit more of that oomph and that fight. But once the penalty happened, and then there were just still moments and you just couldn't find it. And then 2 turnovers, 2 things in transition, they led to 2 more goals. And that's something that Brad Guzan talked about, that they have to limit that. They have to stop that. And they didn't. And it's those moments and those things that, you know, about the game. And it's just, you have to do those things better. And you give up those moments. And again, it's just, I don't know what else there is to do. Because there's different things you could do. You know, like, do you change the lineup? What do you change the way you play? Do you put five in the back? Do you play more defensively just to not allow teams in? Or do you change something up? I don't know what it is. I don't know what you do to change this. Because I do agree with Jason. I think you're now to a point where it's a mental thing. And a lot of people don't want to hear that and they don't want to think about that. But it is a mental thing. And it is something that can impact a team, can impact performances, can impact the way a team plays. It's a mental and it's a confidence thing. And that's something that needs to be talked about. Because you're to a point now where it almost just feels like, what else is there we can do? And you got to find a way to get out of it. You have to.
The other thing is, as you await a breakthrough, is it feels like, at least for me, maybe not for the team and for the players, that you're waiting for that thing to go wrong, right? You're waiting for the turnover that costs you a goal. You're waiting for the iffy or dicey call in the box that hands the other team a penalty kick. It just feels like you're waiting to be taken down a little bit. And certainly that's not the mindset you want to go with either. We do have to do this. We do it every match. Madison Cruz has selected a very difficult discussion, but a man of the match. Who stood out to you today?
I think Mateusz Glik. I think absolutely. I think it was his first start in three games. He came in and he was able to start. And I thought he played a really good role. Jason and Mike said it. You know, he played like the player we got last year from DC. I mean, at DC, he led the team in assists. He was creating opportunities, and that's what he did today. He created opportunities. He was getting in the attack. He was running back, defending. I was taking a look at some of the Heat matches and stuff throughout the match, and you look at Click, and you look at what he did. He was all over the place. I mean, absolutely all over the place. And that's what you want to see if you're Mateusz Glik. I mean, literally, I'm showing A because no one else can see this, but that's the Heat map for Mateusz Glik. All over the field. I think that shows a lot about what he can bring to this team and what he did offensively, what he did defensively, and he put in the work. And I think that's why Mateusz Glik is my man of the match.
Well, we are going to continue to break it down, and hopefully we'll hear from a couple players and manager Ronnie Dyla, a post-match press conference. I'm sure it'll be on the way, as long as a little bit of sound, courtesy of Jason Longshore. So, look, we still got a lot of, I want to call it breakdowns, but it really is just going to be 50 more minutes of me complaining and Maddie complaining a little bit less than me. And we'll work our way through it on the other side. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, the soccer down here after Atlanta United drops another one, 3-0 at Orlando City. And it was three goals that frustrate you in a couple of different ways. And we're going to talk about the first goal a little bit separately in a moment. But the goals two and three are kind of a little bit frustrating because it's a lot more of the same here. And we're going to let you hear those two goals in this highlight segment brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 today. Already down 1-0 going into halftime due to a penalty kick we will discuss shortly. About 6 minutes into the second half, a mistake from Atlanta United leads to Alex Freeman putting one home.
Lennon kicking it up to Almiron behind the halfway line, who then drives a hard pass back to Lennon, and it bounces off of him for a throw.
I think he was trying to play it back to Cobb, and it hit Lennon.
Well, either way, off the throw, it bounces in the central channel to Atuesta, ahead to Freeman, right side of the 18, shot, score. 2-0 Orlando, and here we go again.
Yeah, and if that wasn't bad enough, you want to talk about frustration. I think you could hear it at the end of this call, the voice of Mike Conti.
And Abram will cut it back to Guzan. Under pressure from Morial, nearly given away at the penalty spot. Then Cobb clears it, but to an Orlando player. It's Pasulich to the top of the arc. Shot. Score. Oh, my God. This is a complete and utter mess.
Way too much more of the same in regards to mistakes from Atlanta United leading to opponents' goals. And I've been talking about this with varying levels of frustration, Maddie. It's just I want teams to have to work hard to beat Atlanta United, to score against Atlanta United. Obviously gifted a PK, which we'll discuss shortly, but goal two and goal three, bad turnover. You don't reset your defense following a throw-in. Easy goal. And then a couple of opportunities, one from Brad, one I think it was from Noah Cobb, trying to clear it, doesn't get it cleared, and that leads to the third goal. It's just too easy at times to score on Atlanta United. And for a team that's struggling, that's just not good enough right now.
It's not. I mean, the second goal, it's you give it up. You give up in transition, and it happens. Basically, you turn it over, and then it's a quick throw-in, and then Freeman's wide open on the right side. And so that's one. And then also, too, I mean, the third one as well, Noah Cobb does what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to just clear it. Get it out of the 18. That's what you're supposed to do. And it's a rocket that goes right past Brad Guzan. But still, you know, it's the same things that Brad Guzan said before in media that we've heard as well. It's those moments in transition and those moments where you give up those turnovers and you allow them to break. And Ronnie Dyla also said it, something we didn't get to get into a lot in the pregame as well, when he was talking about the way he wants this team to play and utilizing the wide. A lot of those turnovers and a lot of those things happened in transition in the middle of the field. That makes it very easy for a team to then do a quick counter and to get something going. If you give it away on the wings, that also then you can contain it a little bit more. But it leads it open for those things like that, and you got to get better at those moments.
So frustrations all around in the second half, goals two and three. But for that initial goal, a penalty kick that was given and granted after VAR. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, Ronnie Dyla at the post-game podium.
When I see last week, I don't see anybody that's playing on the level that they normally do. And I can tell you one thing, there's one thing these boys is to want to improve and want to get better and want to win, that's for sure. And I think the first 30 minutes to 35 minutes to the penalty, we are good organized. We have a good away game. We could be more accurate on the ball, but you see also a very lack of confidence on the ball. And then when we come down, you see like a lot of fog in their heads, almost like you see that we are always 1 meter too late. I don't see a lot of smiles. I don't see a lot of communication with the body, anything. So again, as I said last time, you know, this is things that I have seen before. It's my task now and my responsibility now to get our players in the right mood into every game. And what I can say to everybody is like, you for sure, it's not that anybody don't want, not me either. I think almost we want too much. And, you know, now we have to take care of each other this week. Because it's going to be a fantastic game now coming to Nashville at home, coming back again home. But we need to show ourselves from our best side, and then we need to enjoy it. We have to come there with smiles. We need to come there to attack the situation and nothing to be scared of. We have to accept the situation right now. Then it's not a situation we want to be in. At the same time, we are in it. So talking about results now, that's not the right way to see it. We have to think about our performances, and they are not good enough. It's not good as we can be, and we have shown that earlier in the season. And now I think just we are in a as I said to my players also, that we cannot be. I think the bottom is reached in a way. So now it's about how we can turn this around, and then we learn more about ourselves and more about us each other also, and we learn as a group, and then have we become stronger from it, I'm for sure.
When you saw this before at previous teams, how did you get out of it? Was it Was it trying new personnel? Was it trying new tactics? Was it trying new things with a psychological coach? What did you do?
It's three things, you know. It's about love. It's about safety and trust, and it's about fun. I think that's the three main thing that we need to. Something is wrong there. I think, you know, we really try, you know, to make each other better and to take care of each other. But I think when everybody wants a lot and like, oh, we want to show who we are, we want to show how good we are, you know, and then you go through the game 100 times before you played it. And then that is tiring. I'm sure everybody that is have some years on the a little bit up in the years, I've felt that that feeling. So that is for me now, you know, how we can get our smiles back, how we can get the safety into us, and that we can attack the situation. Because now it's more about scared to lose than to attack, and I think that is a mindset. And again, you have to look at yourself, look yourself in the mirror, and you see your team. And I think also, I feel much better now. But I think also we have been overworked, everybody now to get this right. And that's where we are. As I said, I take a lot of responsibility for this. I know how good we can be, and now it's about how we can be ready for Nashville, because that game is nothing to look at. That's people wants and tries, and we are organized in moments of the games, but in the end we are second in almost everything around on the pitch, and that is more it's not one or two, it's the whole team, and that's something we just have to make get right.
Well, look, a couple of things jump at us immediately here. And one of the things is this is absolutely a low point, even lower than it was at any point last year, in my opinion. But new manager of this squad, Ronnie Dial, is not despondent. And I think that's important, that there's still some faith and some trust that they can get this thing going. And it's going to take everyone. It's going to take the players. It's going to take the manager and the staff. It's going to take the leadership of the front office, technical director, and everyone to kind of turn this thing around. But it's still there. And now it's about answering the questions, finding a way. And it sounds like he is going to consider, he being Ronnie Dial, is going to consider all aspects of this. If it's about changing, as you mentioned, and as Jason mentioned, and Mike as well, if it's about changing formation, is that something they consider? Is it about the mentality of how we play? Is that something they consider? And is it about the personnel? Is that something they consider? Messages need to be sent and received. The question is, how do you deliver it, knowing that, hey, and they mentioned it with Chris Henderson, yeah, you're into the season, but you're not halfway. You're not in the final quarter. It's still a long season to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And I mentioned this like three matches in, Maddie. You're not winning Supporter Shield. Like, okay. I think we saw last year, and if this is what I'm left with grasping at straws, we saw last year what getting into a position that you need to be in, that being of the postseason, and figuring it out by then, that's all we need to do. And there's still obviously a path to that, a road to that. They've got some stuff they've got to figure out, though. And it's going to be interesting to see what the first attempts are and then what comes after that. Is it personnel that comes first? Is it a mentality that comes after that? Or is it formation? What exactly does Dial kind of stack up and power rank as things to address first?
Well, I mean, going back to what you said about the season being long, I think back to something that Greg Garza said in that interview with Jason Longshore earlier this week. You know, nobody remembers that New York Red Bulls won the Supporters Shield the year that we won MLS Cup. That's how this league is wired. A team can start so low and then manage to find their way up going forward.
And you can also be Inter Miami and set a single season points record and get bounced immediately by a team that barely got into the postseason.
And that's exactly
right?
The point. Last season as well, Atlanta United was scraping to try to get into the playoffs, and they did. They were able to make it into the playoffs, and then they beat Inter Miami, the team that was supposed to win it all. This is what about the MLS League, and what is so crazy and beautiful and weird about it is that you just need one moment and anything can change. This season is going to fluctuate. The teams that you see right now at the top might not be at the top later on as we get to October. They might not be there.
Are you calling out Vancouver?
No, I'm not calling out Vancouver or anybody
else. Charlotte took a step back today. I know you want to talk about that.
They unfortunately did, but listen.
Unfortunately, like, huh? That's the term you're using now?
Listen, guys, this is one of those things where the season's long. The league is built in a way where anything can happen.
The playoff format is wildly forgiving.
Anything can happen. You get an opportunity, and you take it. The only thing I can guarantee you that's seeing through these players' minds is playoffs. Getting to the playoffs, getting to that moment, getting the chance to compete in the playoffs. Because once you get to the playoffs, it's completely different. But focusing even now just on Atlanta United, one thing that I was looking up something and it was a quote that stuck out to me that I think really encapsulates, especially talking about fear. Ronnie Dial has always mentioned, you know, he doesn't want his team to be afraid to play. He wants his team to not be afraid of making these mistakes, of especially up in the attacking half, you know. He wants them to dare to play. He wants them to get forward and create something and try things. Fear is only as deep as the mind will allow it. It's a Japanese proverb, but I think it fits perfectly. Because if you are so stuck in this fear and you're stuck in your mind of, oh, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. This is going to happen. Something's going to turn. This is going to happen. You're going to get stuck, and it's just going to dig your hole so much deeper. You got to get to a point and you got to get out of it. You can't be afraid to lose anymore. I mean, right now you're looking at what has happened and you got to say, you know what? Keep it going. Come on, you know what? We got nothing to lose. Like, let's go out there and let's dare to play. Let's go out there and let's not be afraid. And, you know, it's easier said than done, but you got to start looking at it like that now.
What you're talking about, and I know we're going to be late for break, that's all right. What you're talking about and what you're referencing is what they found last year under Rob Valentino. It is what happens to this team when you throw away the expectation and you kind of let belief of what you are or what you can be take over. And I think you saw them with a wildly different mindset the last 7 or 8 games, where it was a full-on back-against-the-wall situation just to get into the postseason. Now, you're not there yet. Again, because of the standings and because of the length of this season, it is not do or die. It's not make or break right now. But if you could find a way to attach that mindset, even though the standings aren't suggesting that that's the reality, I think that's what they need to do. And like you're saying, you can't be scared to lose. You can't be scared to give up a draw. You've got to play your game. And right now, it just doesn't feel like they're doing that for a variety of different reasons.
You have to go in there and you have to play the way you want to play. You cannot try to be somebody you're not. And I think that it's what we talked about earlier, especially with the identity of this team. We know how this team wants to play. We've seen the way this team wants to play. But it's almost like you're getting so caught up in the moment of, we want to do something more. And you're seeing it. They're eager. They want to win. So they're almost doing too much. They're doing too much and they're overthinking it. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not even trying to pull my own experience, but like, when I have anxiety, anxiety can overtake things. You overthink things. You overanalyze everything. I can only imagine what's going through the players' minds, especially in these moments of having anxiety and in this moment. And it's just, you have to find a way to overcome it. You have to find a way to gain that confidence back and to not allow this pressure to completely push you down. You have to somehow find a way to embrace it and to take it and use it as fuel going in forward. And again, anxiety is not a anxiety, stress, competition, competitive stress. It's all kind of weird in how you handle it and how you use it, how you like deal with it. But it's about finding your own way to take it and use it and push it and use it to help you going forward. Because as of right now, that's what you have to do. You got to find a way to use it and then embrace it and go forward.
That is Madison Cruz of Soccer Down here. I am Abe Gordon. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we come back, we'll continue to break it down. We also have to touch on what was the deciding factor of the first half, a penalty kick decision that most of us, at least here in Atlanta, would argue was the wrong one. We'll talk about that and continue to break down the path forward for Atlanta United, including next week's match against the team that is absolutely obliterating their opponent today. We got a lot more to discuss. Madison Cruz, Abe Gordon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in the full-time report. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, as Atlanta United falls to Orlando City 3-0. And look, we still got some comments to make in regards to the mindset and the really where Atlanta United is. But I want to talk about what happened that gave Orlando City a 1-0 lead. And we're not going to approach this from the Atlanta United specific angle. I think this is a problem league-wide. And essentially what we're suggesting, and again, we're not going to be too biased in regards to that shouldn't have been the call, blah, 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 is what the rule is and how it is applied within MLS. And we're talking about using the video assistant to gauge and review and then at times overturn penalties or non-penalties. And look, this is far from the only sport that has issues, right? The NFL doesn't know what a catch is. And there are plenty of situations in the NFL as well where if it's not beyond the shadow of a doubt, it shouldn't be overturned. And there was a situation today that, yes, it does go against Atlanta United, and if it goes the other way, we're certainly not talking about it, but it is a situation today where there is a play just inside the box. Bartosz Lisz gets tangled, maybe wins the ball, maybe doesn't. I'm not even going to try and make an argument for it to have been the wrong overturn. But it gets signaled down that the official needs to go take a look at it. The video assistant referee tells him that you need to look at it. And the problem that Jason has, Jason Longshore, and the problem that you and I have, Maddie, is the wording, clear and obvious error. And it just has to be looked at in real time. How blatant is the miss? How blatant is the screw up? And it's just one of those things where if you're looking at it for a certain length of time and still trying to figure it out, it can't be blatant. I think there are situations that are blatant. I think handballs in the box are blatant misses, things that happened at speed. I think 50-50 challenges where maybe you nick a guy and maybe you don't is not a blatant miss. And unfortunately for Atlanta United, it was ruled down. And the official, who still has an opportunity to say, I believe my call was right on the field, but once they look at it, it's always going to feel like it's clear and obvious error. And unfortunately, I think too much power is given to the VAR, and you've got a lead official that's unlikely to take a look and then disagree with the VAR, and it leads to a penalty kick and eventually a goal and a 1-0 lead.
If it takes 3 minutes, I think, to look at it, I think you're reaching. I do. And I think even just going from the beginning of talking about it, you look at it. The job of a VAR is supposed to be to signify if it is a clear and obvious error. It was not a clear and obvious error that was made in that judgment call. And I think in those moments, you're trying to re-referee. You're trying to like almost over-referee in that moment. And I don't agree with it because for me, when you're using VAR, it's the last resort. You're using it if there is a clear and obvious error. And I do not think there was a clear and obvious error. And I think it's something where if you're looking at the way VAR is used, I think there really needs to be a serious discussion about it. I really do. I think you got to figure something out there because it's got to be clear. It's got to be clear.
It's unfortunate. That's what gives Orlando City a 1-0 lead, but Atlanta United's response simply wasn't good enough in the second half. Alexi Maranchuk at the post-game podium right now speaking on the 3-0 loss.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We so I don't want to like go deep all of these things, but all I can say It can't be forever, this period. It cannot be forever. So we gotta stay positive, keep working hard. I know it's tough for everybody, fans, because we're working hard. We wanna give everything on the field, and we wanna give them joy to watch our football, and to get 3 points, to be on top of the table. But sometimes things go not going the way that we want. So gotta be together, all of us. And you know, it's like one, it can be one game, good game, it can switch like other way. So keep working, trust the process, and believe.
What are the things that you guys can do this week in training to improve the confidence within the team in the attacking half?
So tomorrow we have day off. Obviously, we have to like spend time with our family, friends, just get out of all of this, you know, just so have fun in some way. But in the further week.
That was Alexei Maranchuk talking, and you can obviously hear he was a little bit more disappointed than Ronnie Dyla sounded, but it also came with a message of staying positive and wanting to do better for the fans, wanting to do better, obviously, for the team, and taking tomorrow and just kind of getting away from disappointment for a moment and then building back over the course of the week. So, look, I know we mentioned Ronnie Dyla didn't seem too despondent, didn't seem too down. Alexei Maranchuk, a little bit more so, and I think that's to be expected, and I think that's okay. If anything, it at least shows that they care, that they are bothered by it. It'd be much worse, and we've talked about this before, it'd be much worse if they had no worries that they are at the bottom and have dropped a second straight match 3-0, but that is not the case. When we come back here, we still have a lot to get to in regards to Atlanta United, including having to move forward against a team that is red hot. It's all coming your way on the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. Madison Cruz, Abe Gordon in the Kia Studios here for the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000. Maddie, I know we didn't get to hear a ton of what Alexei Maranchuk had to say, but what he did say you felt was relatively impactful. I saw you taking notes, copious notes, handwritten all the way. What struck a nerve with you? What did you hear that you wanted to single out?
I mean, I think for me, just the emotion from Alexei Maranchuk, I think that is what hit me, because I think you hear from him and he says, and, you know, I believe him, you know, this team doesn't want this. They don't want to be in this position, and they're trying and they're doing what they can. And I think just the message from him, and I think it goes back to what Jamal Tiare said earlier this week too, is they have to stay positive. You have to come through this. You have to come in, and you just have to be together. You have to band together and really lean on each other in this moment. And you have to find those moments. You know, you take a break tomorrow, you mentally reset, and I think that's very important. You have to find a way to kind of block this match, block this what you're feeling right now, block it out for tomorrow, mentally reset. Then on Monday when you get back in, you got to find a way just to, you know, then look back at it, come back at it with fresh eyes and, you know, figure out what worked, what didn't. And then you move on and you go forward and you take what from this game and then you move forward. And you have to stay positive. You have to lean on each other in those moments because, you know, no one knows how hard we have it more than them. You know, you have to band together as a team. You have to band together right now, everybody. And you have to lean on each other.
I know you are around this team a lot more than I am, and although we will be there on Friday, I'm co-hosting Dukes and Bell there from the Atlanta United training facility. Also, the media match is taking place, which I'm doubly excited for. It's pretty much, you know, my Oscars, you know.
Your Oscars, okay.
I think so.
All right.
Separate of that, you are at the facility multiple times a week. You see this team and you see training. I'm very interested to see what training and the vibes are going to be like this week, because there's a couple ways to approach it, right? When you're kind of down in the dumps a little bit and you're struggling, do you double down, right? Do you put in the two-a-day efforts? Do you try and go harder at training, at practice? But there's also the other side where you can maybe lighten it up. And instead of doing, and we see this in other sports, I don't know if I can speak to it in regards to soccer. You certainly see it in the NFL, definitely in training camp, right? We're canceling the afternoon practice, going to a group movie, a team movie, or a bowling, and it's something that just to get away and to change things up and to avoid getting in the same rhythm. I wonder what changes we might have at training this week, because something needs to go. Something needs to change, and it probably starts over the course of the week. It's not going to start Saturday afternoon.
No, it's not. And, you know, that's why you have a day. You have a day where you can, you know, go see your support system, where you can mentally reset, and then you can get back to it next week. And, you know, from being at training, this team bonds well. This team feeds off of each other's energy well at training. They are together. Like, they are together. And it's one of those things where this team just needs to come together in this moment. They got to take this. They got to lean on each other. They got to pull through. They got to lean on each other. They got to look to each other. They have to stay positive. They have to stay positive to go forward, because I'm going to quote Greg Garza again. Positivity moves mountains. And right now, I know it's probably easy for me to say that, but it really is true. It really is. You know, there's only so much negativity one can take before it just completely boils over. You got to find a way to stay positive, move forward, and lean on each other. You have to.
When we come back here on the Five Stripes, on the Full-Time Report, we'll talk about the opponent next week, Nashville, what they're doing tonight at home at Giannis Park there in the Eastern Conference, and get you set for what should be a very interesting week of coverage for the Five Stripes. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final couple minutes here, breaking down Atlanta United's 3-0 loss to Orlando City, and more importantly, their path forward. And that path is going to be at home next week. It is a daytime affair on Saturday, 1:30 kickoff there against Nashville SC at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Nashville, it looks like, has just kicked the extra point. They are up 7-2 on Chicago. They had seven goals, like, I don't know, 55, 60 minutes into this thing, whatever it was. And they are red hot right now. Now, they are at home, but they are coming in after probably their best performance of the season. And Atlanta United is going to have a tough one. Atlanta and Nashville historically has been a very interesting matchup. And it's United trying to take a step in the right direction. You thought maybe today, right, Orlando hadn't scored in three straight matches. Maybe there was an opportunity for that step today. Certainly was not tonight that the step in the right direction was taken. And it looks like it's going to be increasingly difficult next week. Nashville is absolutely red hot.
Yeah, and, you know, you get to come home and you get the opportunity to be back in front of your home fans.
But I'm also sitting here remembering that homestand, yeah, where you went 1-1-1, no, and you thought you're going to get 9 points.
I agree with you. But it's one of those things where you have to build. You have to move forward. You got to find something. You got to stick together and be positive and really just take care of each other. Because the moment that you start to turn on each other or these things happen, that's when it all breaks. And I think from seeing this team at training and from what Ronnie Dyla has said too, this team cares about each other. They care about winning. They care about getting things turned around. It just takes one moment, one single moment, and that can completely change it. It could completely change everything. And, you know, it's the adverse effect of kind of what happened today. You know, the penalty happens and it's the moment that kind of just, you know, it's a downhill spiral. The same thing can happen next weekend on Saturday. You get one moment. It's a penalty. You get an opportunity on a counter. You get an own goal. And Atlanta is looking at possibly the spark for the rest of their season. It takes one moment. Find the positive things. Lean on each other. Be positive in these moments, even though it might be difficult. Be positive if you were this team. Go into next week and get things done.
I think the important thing is you don't lose the belief. And
I
think certainly Ronnie Dyla, based on his temperament and the comments today, has not lost the belief. Do you have to search for answers? Do you have to find something? Maybe even change something? The answer to that is certainly yes. But you cannot lose the belief of what you're supposed to be, what you can be. And when, look,
Ted Lasso belief. Get the sign.
That too.
Believe.
Sure.
You have to.
I think it is still all in front of Atlanta United. And look, you're where you are. You can't remove yourself from that. You can't ignore that. But you don't climb Mount Everest with one step. It's thousands of steps forward. And so the way I look at it is find that first step. Start to claw your way back. And from there, just see how many steps in a row you can take. But it's always going to take that first one, and hopefully Nashville's just tired of scoring after seven today, and maybe you can do what's necessary next week.
And sometimes the first step is the hardest. And right now you're looking at this team, and you know they're scared. They're scared to lose. But sometimes it just takes that leap of faith, this one moment. One play from one player that can spark it and get things going. And it only takes one step. One step can be the hardest, but it's like you said, you have to take multiple steps to reach the top of the mountain.
I think I have a guess what might be on Maddie's match day mixtape next week. But
whoa,
to find out, you're going to have to tune in.
Yeah, you have to tune in. Listen.
Next week to the Five Stripes Countdown, which will be coming your way at 1:30 on Saturday. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky here, our producer in the studio, for Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, and to the team themselves. Safe travels back here to Atlanta. She is Madison Cruz of Soccer Down here. I am Abe Gordon. Join us again at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, May 3rd, for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on Nashville SC. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 0 and Orlando City 3. That's going to do it for the Full Time Report right here on 92.9 The Game.